And at the end of the week, we're halfway to summer.
Yay, yes. So I think we're now in Roxwold. Was the homework due today in Roxwold, or is it
no.
tomorrow?
No, the tomorrow. First homework from Roxwold is due tomorrow.
Okay, so I guess that day has come. If you don't have access, go ahead and pass. If you don't have access to Roxwold, you better get it pretty quickly, because all the homework's... Not all the homework. We're going to go back and forth between Marichek and Roxwold, but we're starting to see homeworks in Roxwold. Did you want to say something?
Yeah. So remember how to get to it in Blackboard, right? On the left, it says access in the textbook, and you click that. And it was the second one down. The second one down once that middle thing comes up. And then it takes a little bit to load, so your click is loading. And then there's an e-text link, so click the e-text. And unfortunately, in the homework, it doesn't say what page, like 1.4 is on, but if you want to know, it's page 65, because we looked it up. So you can just go to the page tab and type in the number 65, and it takes you right to where the homework is. So it says Roxwold, and that's how you know it's not Roxwold.
But in the future, you probably just look for the section number and then go to the end of the section in the book, and the problems will be there.
Yeah. If you're at the wrong page, it says what section at the top of the page. There's also a way to check your answers. It does tell you where the answers start on A4. So you would just go to that same page tab and type in A-4 or whatever it takes to the answers. So you can still do your practice problems and look up the answer before you submit them.
Yep. Okay, also, just a reminder, tomorrow we have part two of our second quiz. So it's last Friday was the first part of the second quiz, and then tomorrow's the second part. So, and we'll have an hour and 20 minutes tomorrow to work on the quiz. But then the next day and the next day, so Thursday and Friday are both exam days. So think of tomorrow as kind of not only the quiz, but a review. If you have questions, come in and ask them. And
you will be here early if you wish to start early.
Yeah, I'll be here. I usually get here by 8, but if you want to get here, 8:15 or so, 8:30, you're welcome to start the quiz early. Or the exams, I guess, for that matter. But you do have to be out of here when the class ends. So, any questions about what's coming up the next 3 days or so? Okay, so I just want to do a quick review of functions and lines, linear functions, and things like that. And we're going to get into some more detail about different kinds of functions, but let's just remember. So y equals mx plus b. I mean, that's kind of one of the most important formulas, especially for lines. And now, normally, when we talk about functions, we can write f of x is equal to mx plus b. It's the same thing, right? These are both lines. But this is being, the f of x equals mx plus b is being expressed as a function, whereas y equals mx plus b is what we usually call the equation of the line. And m is what? The slope. B is the y-intercept. So if you see a line that's y equals, say, 3, what kind of thing is that? Horizontal line. Good. And if we plot it, x, y, Now, y equals 3, it's horizontal, so it would look something like this. What's the slope of that line?
Zero.
Say it louder, please.
Zero.
Zero. You guys all with me on this? Okay. What is the y-intercept of that line? 3. So what is b for this line? What is b? 3. Are you guys following? Okay. So if I say f of x is equal to b, what kind of line is that? It's a horizontal line. Okay. And what is the y-intercept for that horizontal line? B. We don't know what B is in this case, but in this case it was 3. So if... Now I could also write y equals f of x equals b. So there's different ways of writing this stuff. Now, one thing I want to point out is our textbooks will... obviously this is the equation of a line, but it's not a linear function. Now that's kind of weird. It's a line, but it's not linear. This is linear when you have an mx plus b, when you have an actual x term in there. We're going to call that linear. So y equals 3x plus 2 is what? It's a line. It's the equation of a line. It's also a linear function. So we can think of it as both a linear function and a line. Now, if I wanted to emphasize that it's a function, I would say f of x is equal to 3x plus 2. But if I have y equals 2, what kind of thing is that?
Equation.
It's an equation of a line. What kind of line? Horizontal line. What's the slope?
Zero.
What's the y-intercept? 2. Okay. Now we call this a constant function. So y equals 3 is a constant function. Y equals 2 is a constant function. Y equals 3x plus 2 is a linear function. And we're going to need to recognize that distinction. So if I give you f of x equals negative 4, what kind of function is that? It's a constant function. What's the y-intercept of that constant function? Negative 4. What's the slope of that constant function?
0.
Okay, good. Now, what if I say x equals 2? What kind of line is that? It's a vertical line. Okay, so plotting it, x equals 2, looks something like that. What's the slope? Undefined. Because the run is 0, the rise is whatever you want it to be, pretty much, and so the rise divided by run is something divided by 0, and you can't divide by 0. So, undefined slope. What's the y-intercept?
None.
What is it?
There is none.
There is none. No y-intercept. Why is there no y-intercept?
It doesn't
touch the y-axis. Okay, that's why there's no y-intercept. Okay, now here's a question. Y equals, say, negative 2. Is that a function? You've already answered this question. It's a constant function. That's right. So it's a function. Remember what a function is? It's what? That's right. So every input has exactly one and only one output. Okay. So what about x equals negative 2? Is that a function? Yes or no?
No.
I hear yes, I hear no. Okay. It is not a function. Right? If we look at, let's say x equals 2 here. So, I've already plotted that. Why is it not a function?
Because I have more than one output.
For each input, there are how many outputs? Infinite number. Does it pass the vertical line test?
It is a vertical line.
It is a vertical line, but does it pass the vertical line test?
No.
So if I draw a vertical line over it, does it touch the graph in only one place?
No,
it touches it in all the places. Infinite number of places. So it is not a function. So x equals something is not a function. Y equals something is a function. Okay. So just kind of a little review there. You guys remember how to calculate the slope? M is equal to, what's the formula?
Y2 minus
Y1 over
X2
minus X1. Now, I think you guys have done pretty well on this, but sometimes I see students, not necessarily in this class, who will mix up put the X's on top and the Y's on the bottom, or will do, say, Y2 minus Y1 over X1 minus X2. You know, if you got to be consistent in how you do that. So we're going to need this today because we're going to be calculating rates of change and slope. Okay. So let's go to the notes. Now, I like this example, actually, because I like starting with something that's practical. And I don't think people do this very much anymore. We don't pay by the minute for, mostly people have unlimited calling and texting and so on nowadays. But it wasn't so long ago that some people would pay by the minute. In fact, if you go back when I was younger, much younger, it'd be 25 cents a minute for long distance. Think about that. You know, that's a lot of money to be spending, especially back then. Okay, so we've got two cell phone plans. One is unlimited minutes. Another one is pay by the minute. And you can see the total cost for a certain number of minutes. So if you use 100 minutes, and 100 minutes sounds like a lot, but it's not really. I mean, 60 minutes in an hour, so it's between an hour and 2 hours of talking. And how many in here talk that much on the phone? I mean, be honest. Okay. Yeah, so now what is this saying? $199 for 100 minutes. Well, that sounds like a lot of money. But if you want to talk for 1,200 minutes, it's also just $199. So what kind of function is this?
Constant.
It's a constant function. So if we write for this unlimited minute plan, let me write unlimited here. So f of x is equal to, what would the right-hand side be? Give me a number. So if I put in X minutes, what's the cost? It's $199. Right? Doesn't matter what the number of minutes is. If it's 200 minutes, it's 199. If it's 300 minutes, it's 199. If it's 600 minutes, it's 199. So what is the slope of that line?
Zero.
Now, can we calculate that? Well, if I take, let's say, these two points right there, and we subtract, now we've got to be a little careful. The 600 is an x, the 500 is an x. So downstairs, what do we get? 600 minus 500? I think Diane showed you that the way you would do this is you would draw something like that and then subtract. Are you guys okay with that? So downstairs, 600 minus 500. Now what's upstairs?
199
minus 199. Agreed? So this number minus this number. And what do you get when you do that arithmetic? What's the numerator?
Zero.
What's the denominator? 100. So what's 0 divided by 100?
0.
So the slope is 0. Just as we expect for a horizontal line for a constant function. Okay? Now, what about this other plan, pay by the minute? So let's say by the minute. Now, I don't know what the function is yet. We haven't figured out the slope. We haven't figured out the y-intercept. In fact, it's not really asking you to find the equation of the line. I think it's easy to do. But, oh, by the way, it says interpret. What does it mean that the slope is zero? Can you interpret that? No matter how many minutes you talk, it's the same total cost. The rate doesn't change, or the rate is constant in any case, but the amount of money that you pay per minute is really zero. You pay $199 up front, and then no matter how many minutes you talk, you don't have to pay any more. So, now by the minute, what is M? So let's do pick these two numbers. So, if we take the numerators there, what am I subtracting? What do I write up here? 79 minus 59 divide by what? 300 minus 200. Make sure you get the order right. 300 minus 200. And so what do you get upstairs? 20. What do you get downstairs? 100. So 20 divided by 100 is 2/10 or 0.2. So 20 cents. So 0.20. And that's going to be 0.20. So 20 cents per what? Minute. So for every minute that you talk, you pay an additional 20 cents, if we did that arithmetic correctly. Does that make sense? Now, we could go ahead and calculate the y-intercept. They plotted these things down here. Here's the unlimited minute plan. It's a constant function, so the horizontal line. And then the slanted one is pay by the minute, and notice it doesn't go to zero. It doesn't go to the origin. What is that telling you? What is this number here?
39.
Is it? I don't know what that number is. We can calculate it. But what is this number? What does it mean? What's the interpretation of it?
It's where you start.
What do you mean, where do you start? It's the...
When the minutes are zero.
When the minutes are zero, that's your monthly fee. So that's the price of just signing up. So it looks like it's probably around $15 or $20 for that. How would you figure out that y-intercept? Do you remember how to do this? So we have y equals mx plus b. And now we know what m is. So y is equal to 0.2x plus b. And how do we find b? Well, we don't know what x and y are. Okay, so what do you plug in? Does it matter?
On the payback.
Can I pick any point from among all of these points?
Anything on the pay by minute.
Yeah, on the pay by minute. Okay, well, let's do that. I think it's worth doing just once. So we could just use these numbers here. So let's say we'll use this point. So 59 is the y. So 59 equals 0.2 times... Now, what is the x?
200.
I guess you're not being able to see the... Okay. 200 plus b. Remember how to do this? So... Bring this up here. So 59 is equal to what's 0.2 times 200? So 40, is that right? So 40 plus B. And what is B? Yeah, B is 59 minus 40, which is 19. So that's the $19 for your... That's the fee that you would pay for the privilege of using the phone without using any minutes whatsoever. So that's our y-intercept. Okay? Any questions about this example? So I want to emphasize, this is a linear function. So, in fact, let's go ahead and write it. F of x is equal to 0.2x plus what? 19. So that's this function here. And what's this function? F of x equals 199. This function is, what kind of function is it? Linear, and this one is a constant function. Okay, very good. I know it's weird. I've always had trouble with that myself. It's a straight line, but it's a horizontal line, so we treat horizontal lines a little different than we treat slanted lines, because we want to call attention to the fact that it's constant. So, constant function, linear function. And by the way, the linear function has an x in it. X to the 1, the 1 we don't write, but it's x to the 1. So that's what we mean by a linear function. You see, there's no x for this kind of function. So that's another reason why we call it a constant function. It's just a number here. Okay? Now, at the bottom of the page, they're... reminding us, summarizing, so the constant function f of x is equal to b, where b is the y-intercept. Linear function f of x is equal to mx plus b. So you have m for your slope. Now here you could think, well, there is an m also, but the m is what?
Zero.
So zero times anything is zero, so that's why you just end up with a b here. So constant function, linear function. Okay? We cool? Is this stuff easy? Okay. Okay, now go to the next page. Some of what we're going to be doing this semester deals with functions that are not constant and not linear. Now, if they're not linear, then we give them a special name. We say non-linear. Makes sense, right? So, really, that covers pretty much all of the bases. It's either constant, or it's linear, or it's not linear. And not linear we call non-linear. And so, every function that we look at for the rest of this semester, and forever and ever, even if you became a math major, it would still be the same thing. You either have a constant function, you have a linear function, or you have a non-linear function. Now, the easy ones are the constant functions and the linear functions. Non-linear, things start to get a little trickier. Basically, how do you know the difference between a linear function and a non-linear function? I mean, just how would you guess? Okay. And when it's not linear, yeah, but how do you tell whether it's not linear? It's what? I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
The formula.
Well, you can tell by the formula, absolutely. But at this moment, some of you may look at the formulas and not be able to tell much from them. And that's okay, because we haven't really covered them yet. So another way is to look at the graph. What is the graph of a linear function going to look like? It's going to be a straight line, right? Now, constant function is also a straight line, but it's horizontal. So linear function is a straight line. What's a nonlinear function? Something that's not a straight line. Okay, there are going to be a lot of different ways of doing that. And so, now here they're asking us to look at the function, look at the formula, and decide from that. And I think we can do that. I'm going to go ahead and, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and plot all of them for you. Kind of sketch them so you can see what's going on. But help me out here. So of this list, and I'm just going to scroll through here kind of slowly, which one is linear? Do you see one that's linear? H of x equals 2x minus 6. Okay, good. So let's plot that. And I'm going to check linear here. Okay, I put an x in that box. Now, how do you plot one of these things? Well, the y-intercept is negative 6. So I'm just going to put a negative 6 down here. And a point, and then if y is 0, x is 3. So here's 6, and here's 3. So now I'm not asking you to necessarily follow exactly what I'm doing here. I'm just going to give you a quick sketch of that function. The x-intercept here is 3. The y-intercept is negative 6. So, in fact, if you go up 2 over 1, up 2 over 1, you'll get there eventually. Okay. You all could plot this. Okay. Let's go back to the first one. Absolute value of x plus 3. Did we do one of those? Absolute value functions. How did we do it? We made a table, and we x and y, and we just plotted some for some x values. We calculated the y's and we plotted them. Well, I'm just going to plot this thing. 1, 2, 3. So x equals negative 3, and you get a v that looks like that. Later on, we'll learn how to do that. Now, let me ask you a question. Is this a linear function? Yes or no? I'm hearing yes. Do I hear any no's? Why is it not a linear function? It's not a straight line. I mean, you might say, well, wait a minute. This is a straight line, and that's a straight line, but together they have a V. A V is not a straight line. So is it linear or nonlinear? Nonlinear. So we check the nonlinear. Okay? I mean, it's that simple. If we plot it, now plotting it might take some time and some effort, and it's tedious, and we don't like to do it, right? But if you did it, this is about what it would look like. And you look at it and you say, nope, that's not it's not a straight line. Now, another way you can tell is that it's not just x plus 3, it's x plus 3 with bars around it. If it was just x plus 3 without the bars, would that be a linear function?
Yes.
So y equals x plus 3 is linear. Y equals absolute x plus 3, not so much. Not linear. Nonlinear. Okay? Okay. Now, we also did a quadratic yesterday, right? I lose track of time. So, quickly, I draw this. Now, the minus 5 is going to be down here, negative 5. It opens up because the coefficient on the x squared is positive. We haven't talked about that yet, but that's something that you're going to learn. And so it opens up. It looks like this. So it's a parabola that opens up, and the y-intercept is negative 5. Is that a linear function? No, it is not. And you can tell by looking at this 2 in the exponent, if it was x minus 5, would that be linear? Yes. But if it's x squared minus 5, it's nonlinear. And so I mark nonlinear here. Okay, let's go down this one. So P of x is equal to absolute value of x minus 4. Now this is another absolute value function. It's a little different than the one we did at the top. So again, I'm going to draw it now negative 4 down here. And then we have a V that looks like that. So is that linear?
No.
It's not linear. It's a nonlinear function. So this is nonlinear. Now, before this semester is over with, you guys are going to be able to plot all of these without too much difficulty. Okay, last one on this page. Z of x is equal to pi. Now, what is pi? 3.14159265535 and so on. Yes? Okay. It's a number. It's an irrational number. It's a transcendental number. It's kind of a fancy number. One of the most popular numbers in the world. One of the most useful numbers in engineering and physics. So, but it's just a number. So, what would this plot look like? Horizontal line. Now, they're calling this Z, but you could think of it as, so I'll put an X here and a Z here, but you could also think of that as a Y if you prefer at this point. So, where is pi? Well, it's up here. It's a positive number. Approximately 3.14. Now, by the way, if I ask you for an exact answer, you would not put pi equals 3.14. You would just use the symbol pi. Because 3.14 is not exact. And so it's a horizontal line. Is that linear? No. It's constant. It's a constant function. It's certainly not nonlinear. And unfortunately for us, it's not linear either. It's constant. So I'm going to check the constant. Okay? How are we doing? This isn't too bad, is it? Okay. Now, student activity, let's see. I'll help you through number three. What kind of equation can be graphed using a slope and a y-intercept? Linear. Okay. What about number four? What does the graph of a constant function look like? So go ahead and write. So go ahead and actually go ahead and do the rest of this page. And turn to your friends if you want some help, or if you want to share your wisdom. By the way, I mean that. So, so on the graph, just pick, so for on the graph on the left, pick one of the linear functions from the previous page, and on the graph on the right, pick one of the nonlinear functions, and go ahead and graph it. And you may have to plot some points. Don't just use my quick sketch. You want to get a little bit of practice with this, so go ahead and do that. Take a few minutes. Linear function, there's only one on that previous page, so just you should be able to knock that one out in about a minute or 2 minutes.
Question.
Yes.
What's your back draft?
Oh, cannot draft. Okay, so I would say make that a table.
Right?
Zero has the value 0, 0. So that's why negative 3 is the x value that gives you that point.
So we can plug in any number.
Well, you have to plug in enough points to figure out, you know, you can't just, like you're going to do this on graph paper, right? So you so we make a table, but a useful place to start might be x equals negative 3, and then you have, that's where the point fitting is. Let's get back together here. So what does the graph of a constant function look like? Horizontal line. And you could go into more detail if you wanted to. You know what the, from the function, you know what the y-intercept is. And so you can plot the horizontal line. Number 5, describe a way of graphing equations that cannot be graphed using a slope and a y-intercept. How would you do a function like that? Make a table. Right? Make a table
So something like this, and choose some x values and then calculate the corresponding y values and then plot those points. So you could say all that if you wanted to, but basically make a table. You're going to plot points from a table. So I would say make a table and then plot points. Now, if you know about lines, and you know about slope, and you know about y-intercept, then you don't need to make a table. You can plot the y-intercept and then use the rise over the run to get the next point or the next couple of points, and then you can draw your line that way. Okay, now the linear function, let's go ahead and be a little bit more precise now with this linear function. What was it? 2x minus 6, so y equals 2x minus 6. So I'm going to use the y-intercept, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 is negative 6 along the y-axis. What's the slope? 2 over 1. So the rise is 2, the run is 1. So up 2 over 1, up 2 over 1, up 2 over 1. Up 2 over 1. We could keep making points. And then you take your straight edge. By now, you guys all should have a straight edge so that you can plot these things gloriously. Okay. And what did you guys choose for the nonlinear? The absolute value? Okay, well, I'll do a different one. How about that? Maybe this quadratic, x squared minus 5. So, what was that? G of x equals x squared minus 5. And let's make a table. So, let's see. I'll do that over here on the side so we have plenty of room. We can see the graph. So x, comma y, or xy, make a table. Now, I'm not going to compute each of these separately. I'm just going to go ahead and write them down. But if I use, let's say, 3, so x equals, say, negative 3, negative 2, negative 1, 0, 1, 2, 3. So those are going to be the x values, and then the y values. So negative 3 squared is 9, 9 minus 5 is 4, negative 2 squared is 4, 4 minus 5 is negative 1, negative 1 squared is 1, 1 minus 5 is negative 4, 0 squared is 0, minus 5 is negative 5, 1 squared is 1, 1 minus 5 is negative 4, 2 squared is 4, 4 minus 5 is negative 1, and 3 squared is 9, 9 minus 5 is positive 4. Now again, we see this pattern, 4, 4, negative 1, negative 1, negative 4, negative 4. It won't always happen. In fact, it often does not happen with quadratics. But in this case, it does. And so now we can plot these points. So negative 3 comma 4, negative 2 comma negative 1, negative 1 comma negative 4, 0 comma negative 5, 1 comma negative 4, 2 comma negative 1, and 3 comma 4. I think we did something like this yesterday. And then, you know, try to draw a smooth curve that goes through the points, but you don't want this to be pointy at the bottom. It should be as smooth as possible. And it goes beyond the points that you calculated. So there's going to be an arrow there and an arrow there. And that's the parabola corresponding to that quadratic. Now, how do we know that this is not linear? Well, it's got an x squared. It's that 2 in the exponent tells us that it's not going to be linear. Okay? Any questions? Okay. And then, last page. Okay, it says find the rates of change between adjacent points to determine whether the function is linear or nonlinear. Now, one thing we talked about before is that if you have a linear function, straight line, the rate of change is the same anywhere on the line. Even if you use a bigger run, you're going to get a bigger rise, so the ratio is still the same. This ratio, this divided by this is the same as this divided by that. So the slope is everywhere the same on this line. And so it doesn't matter where we take our points. If we get the same slope between any pair of points, then it means that we have a linear function. Now, how do we do that? Well, let's calculate the negative 3 minus the negative 5 and the 15 minus 19. So let's do the 15 minus 19 first. What do you get?
Negative
4. And negative 3 minus the negative 5 is negative 3 plus 5, which is 2. So the slope now is what? Negative 4 divided by 2. Now, can we assume that it's going to be the same everywhere? Matt cannot assume that. So let's do the next one. So we'll do this one, and we'll do this one. So 12 minus 15 is what? Say it. Negative 3. And negative 1 minus negative 3 is the same as negative 1 plus 3, which is what?
2.
So the slope is negative 3 over 2. Now, is that the same as negative 4 over 2, which is negative 2? Are those the same slopes?
No.
Okay. When you get a discrepancy like this, if you did the slope this way with these points, and then you do the slope this way with these points, and you get different numbers, so this one was negative 3 halves, this one's negative 2, which is negative 4 halves, what can you conclude?
Not
a straight line. That's right. It's not linear. Now, an awful lot is riding on that calculation. If you do that calculation wrong, what's going to happen? Well, you probably will conclude that it's either a line when it's not, or is it not a line when it is. So you've got to be real careful about that calculation. Another thing you might want to do is maybe go ahead and calculate another couple of, you know, let's do one more. So 8 minus 12 is negative 4. 1 minus the negative 1, which is 1 plus 1, which is 2. So we can see the difference is 2 between all the x values. In fact, when you go from negative 5 to negative 3, you're increasing it by 2. So negative 5 plus 2 is negative 3. Negative 3 plus 2 is negative 1. Negative 1 plus 2 is 1. 1 plus 2 is 3. So there's a difference of 2 between all the x values. if it was going to be the same slope, then you would expect to have the same difference between the y values. Here you got a negative 4, but here you only have a negative 3 difference. So 19 plus negative 4 is 15. 15 plus negative 3 is 12. 12 plus negative 4 is 8. And then, you know, this obviously, so 4 minus 8 is negative 4. So there seems to be something wrong here with that negative 3. When you see that, you might want to just check your arithmetic to make sure it's right. Because you'd feel a little silly if it really was negative 4, but you just made a silly little mistake here. So I'm going to check again. So 12 minus 15 is negative 3, and negative 1 minus a negative 3 is 2. So we did that right. So now we conclude. What do we conclude? Not a straight line. Not a linear function. Because the slope is not constant everywhere along the line. It's not the same slope. Does that make sense? Now you want to have a bookkeeping approach to do these right. Diane, are you okay with this approach? Okay. She's the expert when it comes to how to do things like efficiently and correctly. Sometimes I get caught up and I do it in my head, or, you know, I don't always write it the most easy to understand way. So she's my guide when it comes to this kind of stuff. So if you have any questions, you know, maybe ask her about how to do this, but I think she's saying this is okay. So let's do now this one. Let's see what happens. So works the same way. We don't know whether this is going to be linear or nonlinear. This, we decided what? This is nonlinear. What about this one? So, negative 2 minus a negative 8 is what? Negative 2 plus 8, which is 6. Negative 1 minus a negative 4 is negative 1 plus 4, which is 3. And then the slope is going to be the difference in the y is divided by the difference in the x, so 6 divided by 3, which is 2. So I'm going to leave it written this way. Now this one, let me write it over here. 6 divided by 3. 2 minus the negative 2 is 2 plus 2, which is 4. And this one, 1 minus a negative 1 is 1 plus 1, which is 2. And so you get 4 divided by 2. Now 6 divided by 3 is 2. 4 divided by 2 is 2. So far it looks like they might be the same slopes. I mean, they are the same slopes here and here, but now we can't let up. We can't just give up and say, well, you know what? We think it's the same. We're going to have to check all of them. So let's do these. So 4 minus 2 is 2. 2 minus 1 is 1. So 2 divided by 1 is also 2. Looking good so far. And then the last pair of points, so 10 minus 4 is 6, 5 minus 2 is 3, 6 divided by 3 is also 2. And so 2, 2, 2, 2, what can we conclude? Same slope everywhere, so therefore it is linear. Okay? Now, here, the X's were all separated by 2, but the Y's were not uniformly separated. Here, they're all over the place. Some of them have, the Y's are separated by in some cases 6, in some cases 4 or 2. Here they're separated, the x's are separated by different things. So you can't just look at the difference between the x's or the difference between the y's and conclude anything. You have to actually compute the slope. Okay. Now we'll have an opportunity to do more of that later, but any questions about this? Okay, and then now this is a new idea that we're going to be talking about. We'll talk about it today, and then we'll talk about it some more later. But we want to figure out where is this function increasing and where is it decreasing. Think of this as a roller coaster, or maybe a hill that you're having to walk up and down. If you're going to the right, if you go from here to here, you're walking up a hill. Then you, from here to here, you're going down a hill. And then from here to here, you're going up a hill. So here you're increasing. Here you're decreasing. And here you're increasing. So this is an interval of increase. This is an interval of decrease. And this is an interval of increase. And it's asking in this problem, and we will ask this tomorrow on the quiz and also on the exam later this week, to be able to find intervals of increase and decrease. Now, the intervals are reported based on x values. So the interval of increase here is from x equals what? Negative 2 to x equals 0. So, left bracket, negative 2, comma, 0. Now, actually, Roswell and I sort of disagree on this. This is actually, these should be parentheses. So, when we're talking about increase and decrease, always use parentheses, not brackets. And so, negative 2 to 0.
Why is it 0 and not 2?
Because it's x equals 0.
The numbers are always off the x-axis. They're x-axis numbers.
Yeah, so the interval
value and this x value is
equal enough. It's the interval along the x-axis. So this was x equals negative 2. We're not interested in the y value. And x equals 0. We're not interested in the y value. We just know that it increases. So x equals negative 2 to x equals 0. Now, where's the next interval of increase? That's 5. X equals 5 to x equals 8. So we put a union symbol. So union 5 to 8. So those are the intervals of increase. What's the interval of decrease? In this case, there's only one interval of decrease. What is it? It's from here to here, 0 to what? 5. Now, don't feel bad if that's a little confusing. The interval is measured along the x-axis, so we use x numbers along the x-axis to write down the interval. Okay? You might want to think about it. Take this home and, you know, ponder it a little bit. What about this next one? By the way, while we're at it, what's the domain of this function? Negative 2 to 8, that's right. And are these parentheses or brackets or what?
Brackets, because they're included.
These points are included. Okay, good. Oh, and I need to say something about that in general. So, what about the range? Approximately, this isn't going to be perfect, but approximately, what is the range on this one? It's about negative 2, a little bit more. Negative 2 points something. To what? to 4. Remember, there are y values for the range. So 4 is the biggest y value. Okay. How about the interval of increase for this function? What do you think? Where is it increasing? So you always think about this from as you travel from left to right. So you're going down the hill here. So this is decrease. Now you're increasing from here to here. And then you're decreasing from here to here. So what is the interval of increase?
Negative 2 to positive 2.
It's x. These are x coordinates. Negative 2 to 2. So I'll put negative 2 to 2 there. Now what about intervals of decrease? Notice the arrow here.
Negative infinity to negative 2 union 2 to 4.
Now, we don't include 4 in intervals of increase or decrease because it's not actually increasing at a point or decreasing at a point. If you put a bracket there, I'm not going to care. I might circle it, but I won't take off for it. But think about why that would not be included. You can't actually increase or decrease at an isolated point. Okay, so, and what's the domain of this function?
Negative infinity to 4.
Very good. What's the range, approximately?
Negative 2.5 to positive infinity.
Very good. You guys all with us on this? Okay, well, that's it for the notes. Diane, you wanted to?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Okay.
I would like to take a few minutes and do some extra practice on domain arrangement, some graphs. So we're going to look at some graphs. I'm handing it out to you. These are from the rock form. And all we're practicing is how do I get the domain arrangement? Because a lot of you got the range wrong on the homework that we turned in last night. So we definitely need to learn how to do it. So I just copied a page of graphs from the textbook, the Rothschild book, just so we had some graphs to look at.
All right, so train yourself to do it the same way every time. And we're going to start by looking at these graphs right here.
So ignore the part down here, because this is the answers. This is the teacher edition. It's asking something completely different. I'm just asking you what the domain and the range is of this graph right here. And so we're going to do it off to the side. So I'm just going to call the domain D with a semicolon and R for range. So we're just going to do that for several graphs in a row. So we're going to do, and we might just do a bunch of domains first to get domain in your head. So domain is x values from left to right. So does this graph right here have a leftmost point? Are you able to put your pencil on the leftmost point, or is it going left forever? Left forever, right? Now here is negative infinity. Does this graph have a rightmost point, or is it slowly going out to the right forever?
Right.
So his domain is negative infinity to positive infinity as far as the x values go. So parenthesis, negative infinity to positive infinity. That's often true when there's arrowheads on stuff. I know you look at this and you think it's only climbing and going down, but in actuality it's going out a little bit and out a little bit in each direction if you think about what's going on like at the endpoints. Even though it looks like it's pretty steeply just going down, it's also going out a little bit. Okay? All right, so domain is left to right x values. Range is lowest to highest y value. So does this graph have a lowest point, or is it going down forever? Down forever, right? What's down there?
Negative infinity.
So the lowest value is negative infinity because it doesn't actually have one. How about climbing? What's it doing? Positive infinity. So this graph, that's the domain and the range. That's going to be very different from the domain and the range of this graph right here. So we're going to go to that one next. So let's take a look at the domain. Does this graph have a leftmost point? It does, right here, correct? It doesn't go any further left than right here. What is the x-coordinate of that point right there?
Zero.
Hard bracket or bracket zero. So bracket zero. Does it have a rightmost point or is it heading right forever?
Infinity.
Yeah, infinity to the right forever. So zero, infinity is the domain. All right, let's take a look at the range. Does this graph have a lowest point or is it going down forever? Down forever, so it's going to start with negative infinity. The order that you list your interval is important. Does this graph have a highest point? It does right here, right? And the y-coordinate of this point right here is zero. X and y are both zero, but the y-coordinate is what we're talking about. So zero. Parenthesis or bracket?
Bracket.
Perfect. Okay, so I want to take a look at 67. We'll do the domain first. What do you think about the domain? For a parabola that's going like this, slowly out forever in each direction. Negative infinity to positive infinity. So negative infinity to positive infinity is oftentimes a domain that with things that have arrowheads on them. Does this graph have a lowest point? It does. Put your pencil on the lowest point and project that over to the y-axis, not to the x-axis, to the y-axis. So negative 3, right? So it includes negative 3, so bracket. Does the graph have a highest point or is it going up? It goes up forever, so positive infinity. Let's go to a wonky looking one like 69, where there's actually like some weird stuff going on. So put your pencil on the leftmost point on that graph and project it down to the x-axis and tell me what value you see. Negative 2. So bracket negative 2. Put your pencil on the rightmost point and project it down to the x-axis, and what do you get? Positive 2. So bracket negative 2, comma 2, bracket. All right, lowest point on the graph is right here. And what's the y value? Negative 2. So negative 2. The highest point on the graph appears right here. Project that over to the y-axis, and you will see the y-coordinate is 2. It's kind of weird that they're turning out to be the same on that one. I hate when that happens, because it just seems like we're throwing negative 2s and 2s around for no real reason. But that's literally like leftmost x to rightmost x, lowest y to highest y. Maybe that will be different for this one, or it might not be. It's the exact same thing. That's kind of annoying, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah.
Because we're trying to give like a different number. Let's go to maybe number 72. So you got this kind of weird looking graph. It's nothing that we've talked about yet, but we will learn that eventually, what makes it look like that weird arches kind of thing. Don't confuse the x-intercepts with the domain. Does this graph have a leftmost point? No. Right, most point, no. So negative infinity to positive infinity, because slowly it's going out as well as going down. Hard to kind of see it because it kind of looks like an arrow just coming down. But if I was to blow the graph up bigger, it slowly goes out in each direction. So that would be negative infinity to positive infinity for the domain. Okay, how about the range? What's the lowest point that is represented in this graph? Negative infinity, because it's down here on the y-axis. It's like a thermometer. Negative infinity down here, positive infinity up there. So always go in the correct order. So negative infinity. This graph has the highest point. Do you agree?
Yeah.
If I put my pencil on the highest point and project it over to the y-axis, it's not actually a set number that we could guess, but we're just going to guesstimate it to be like 2.6. Because it's not perfect. It wasn't meant to be a domain or range question. I made it into one. So maybe something like 2.6 or 2.7, whatever you want to pick. So 2.7 with a bracket around it. All right, try number 73 on your own. We give you this graph and we just say, hey, what's the Delmander range of this graph? Did you get negative infinity to positive infinity for the domain? Because it's got those arrowheads going out in each direction. My negative field is kind of weird, but it doesn't have a lot of room. The range is the trickier one. So let's see how clever you were for 73. What did you say for the range? What's the lowest point? Look at the scale, though. Each tick mark is counting by fours. Did you catch that? Raise your hand if you caught that. I only know that because there's an 8 sitting here, so that means that's got to be like 4, 8. So this has to also... Oh, I take that back totally. It's counting by 500 on the y-axis. So that's kind of a goofy one. So that must be negative 500. Did you put negative 1,000? If you put negative 1,000, fantastic. That means you know the lowest y value represented with a bracket is negative 1,000. Comma goes up to positive infinity. Yeah, the scale is important. 9 times out of 10, we're counting by ones. But in this particular one, we were not counting by ones. Go back for a minute and look at the lines for number 45 and 46. You don't have to write things down. Just look at it for a second. If I asked you for the domain and range of that line, what was the domain? Negative infinity to positive infinity, right? What's the range? Does this graph have a lowest point, or is it going down forever?
Yes.
Down forever, so down there is negative infinity. Does that graph have a highest point, or is it going up forever? Up forever. Think about every line for a second, including the horizontal one. Isn't every line going left and right forever, no matter how I twist my hands, right? So the domain of every line, linear function, is negative infinity to positive infinity. Isn't every line going down forever and up forever? No matter how I kind of twist my arms, it's still going down forever and up forever. So it's negative infinity to positive infinity for domain or range of lines that are like linear functions. Hopefully you can see that, right? There is no leftmost point. There is no rightmost point. Don't confuse it with the intercepts. The intercepts are where does the graph cross the x-axis, where does the graph cross the y-axis. That's something different from domain and range. So be a little bit careful about that. Even this guy right here, his domain is negative infinity to positive infinity. But he has a clearly stated x-intercept and y-intercept that you can see on the graph. We could give you a graph and ask you all those questions. Like, what's the x-intercept? What's the y-intercept? What's the domain? What's the range? Where is it increasing? Where is it decreasing? You're going to practice some of those tonight. As you transition to the Roxwald textbook, because this is from Roxwald, there's lots of different direction sets within each homework set. You're going to see it's written at a much higher level than Marichek in a way. And sometimes there's a little bit of a, oh my God, I hate the Roxwald book because it's so difficult. You got to get used to it a little bit. So make sure you do your homework from there. Let me hand back your homework from today. Hopefully that helps your stuff on the domain and range. For you. And the one up here will seem easier now that you got wrong. Yeah.